It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard. Welcome once again, and it is a joy to be able to come to you and say to you once again, it's a good life. We're going to look today in Luke chapter 23, and as we look there, we want to understand that this is a section of Scripture that talks about the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. And let me remind you that before we get into this, that the sacrifice was made willingly. Nobody took Christ's life from him. He laid it down willingly that you and I might know him as our Savior and be able to go to heaven. You know, we forget some of the basic realities of the Bible as believers sometimes do. And we a lot of times take things for granted and we become careless. But we really need to be aware of the reality of the cross. Now, before we look in Luke chapter 23, let me remind you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. You can request a free transcript by going there, a transcript of this program, or any other of the programs of It's a Good Life that you've heard or that you would like to receive. There's a list of them on that website. Also on the website, lrwm.org, you'll be able to leave prayer requests. Now, we want to pray with you and for you as your needs arise. We want to pray for those who are unsaved, who have a desire to be saved. And if you've recently received Jesus as your Savior, we want to rejoice with you, pray with you, and send you some Bible helps that will help you as a new convert to realize what's taken place in your life. Now let's look briefly into Luke chapter 23. We want to look today at Jesus on the cross. Reading with verse 27, now we're going to go down through verse 46. It won't take that long to read these verses, and they're very important. It says there in verse 27 of Luke chapter 23, "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, traditionally, as we read this story, we say that there were three crosses on Mount Calvary. There was one to the right. We see the one on the right received what Jesus had to offer. There was a reception of the blessedness of the Lord as he hung on that cross. And this person on the right went to heaven. He went to heaven and never went to church. He went to heaven and wasn't baptized. You know, the way of the cross leads home, not the way of the creek. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that anyone, any person, every person who goes to heaven must come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one on the right of Jesus, the malefactor, received him as Savior. The one on the left rejected him. He went to hell, as all Christ rejectors do. How sad it is to be that close to our Lord and go to hell. Well, what was the cross? The first thing I see about the cross is that it is a meeting place. There, God draws all people. The Spirit of God draws people to the cross of Calvary and offers them eternal life by trusting His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God met the Son on that cross. It was on the cross that business was transacted. On that cross, we see the buying of sinners from the slave market of sin. No more to have to serve the sin of this world, but being relieved of that burden, and no more seeing or having bear upon us the condemnation of sin that says, as for one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, we all die physically, unless we go to be with the Lord in the clouds when He comes back for us at the rapture of the church. We all must die physically, and it's because of sin, the sin that came upon us by the sin of one man. Now, don't blame Adam. Blame yourself if you're living in sin, because it's the sin of the flesh. It's your sin, the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will take you to hell. Do not blame going to hell on anyone except yourself, if you choose to do so. God also meets the saint at the cross. When you pray, you come by way of the middle cross, that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not come through another man. You do not come through a saint. You do not come by looking at a cross on a chain. You do not come any other way to the Lord other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But let's back up and look at verse 14. It says, Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Well, who is that? Who is passed from death into life into the heavens? Was it someone who sits on a throne down here on the earth who gives out orders and says, I can forgive your sins if you will just pray to me? No, it says that it is Jesus Christ who has passed from death into life, who is in the heavens. In verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says that He has passed from death into life, the Son of God. It says, Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And then it says, Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Why and how? Because of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because He died on that cross, we look to Him. We can go to the Lord in prayer through the Lord, not through anyone, any other man, or any man. We must go through the Lord Jesus. And might I say, it's not through a woman either. Not by man, nor by woman, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we meet God in prayer. Well, the cross was a meeting place, and it's also an altar. The innocent died for the guilty there. That's sacrifice. It is a pulpit where the gospel is preached, the good news that Jesus died on that cross, and it's a message that we see coming from the cross, it's a pardon for sin, forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1, we read how that in verse 7 it says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." In verse 9 it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It doesn't say some of the unrighteousness. It says all of the unrighteousness. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, "It is finished." That means there's nothing else to be added. There's nothing that can be taken away. His death was the finish. It finished and made certain that those who trust in Him would go to heaven and have their sins forgiven. Well, the cross means a pardon from sin. It means peace with God, according to Psalm 29 and verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. It's not only peace with God, it's the peace of God. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then we see that it is also the power to live. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Well, who preaches from the cross? It's the Holy Spirit who brings us the message of the cross. In Psalm chapter 85 and verse 10, it says, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Where did this happen? It happened at the cross. But I said earlier that we take a lot of things for granted. We sort of just skim over things. And let me tell you this today, that Jesus is no longer on the cross. Jesus came down from the cross. He was buried. And He resurrected that third day that you and I could be saved. That is all of the good news. He died on the cross. He was buried. And He resurrected that third day that we could go to heaven. Now, if you've never trusted Him today, the sad news for you is that right now you're on your way to a devil's hell. You need to bow your head right where you're at and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you receive Him as your Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right where you're at, ask Him to come into your heart, and He'll save you. Look to the cross, look to the grave, and then look to the resurrected Jesus. He's alive today for you. And Christian, if you're not living for Him today, you need to bow your head and ask God's forgiveness. Get back to where you need to be to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer for you is that you will be what God would have you to be. Until this same time next week, this is Lewis Woodard inviting you to tune in again when you'll hear me say, "It is a good life serving the Lord." May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.